Thanks.
We had them.
All right, if everybody's ready. How do you do it? How do you do it? I don't know.
Thank you, Mark.
we'll call to order the Odyssey Board of Directors meeting. We're starting at what, 7:07, and we'll start with a Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, everybody, for coming. For those that do not know me, my name is Joe Walker. I have been the vice president of the board for the past 2 years, I think. And as of July 1st, I am now the new board president for Odyssey. So thank you for... No, please. So I just wanted to get that out of the way early so that everybody who's here for me can leave. Let's do the review and approval of previous minutes. And we'll start in order. So here's June 27th. And we'll go chronologically.
So there's two.
Meeting that was held on June 27th. Anybody?
No.
Motion to approve is drafted.
Do I hear a second? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Then we'll move on to June 5th.
July.
July 5th. Thank you.
duck pheasant.
Is that Billy?
If I can make a brief, not a minor, on July 5th, at that point, my title had changed.
Yeah.
Sorry. Under apps.
Yeah.
If it makes any difference, I had already suggested this.
Anybody have any more comments on July 5th? Minutes for July 5th? Any comments besides the one that Denise pointed out?
No.
No?
No.
George? George M? Any other changes?
No.
Okay. All right, so do I have a motion to approve the minutes as amended?
A motion.
All right.
As amended.
A second?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent. Okay, I'd like to do something a little bit out of order, just because I think it makes a little bit more sense this way. So one, down in new business, there's a bullet point for election of officers. And so now that I have become the president of the board, there's an opening for vice president. So I guess, and maybe John can help me out with this, John Stewart. I'll open the nominations if necessary for the role of vice president.
I'd like to nominate Mike Tirafides for the role of vice president.
Do I have any other nominations?
I would recommend Abigail. I don't know her that well, but she seems very nice.
I would second that as well.
Do I have to accept?
No, you can do whatever you want.
Oh, no. I mean, do you have to ask me this? I would accept the nomination.
Okay. So, John, you didn't give me Robert's rules like you said you were going to.
I know. I thought you were a lawyer.
I ask you as just my resident expert on this. What's the proper procedure now?
Well, I would do a closed ballot between the group here and give everybody a piece of paper and have them vote for the individual they want to be the vice president. And usually, typically, you'll have somebody who represents, it will be the custodian of the votes of the ballots. So if Denise or Ricardo want to be the custodian of the ballots, rip up a piece of paper, give everybody a piece of paper, and they vote. And whoever has the most votes is the vice president.
It's election through the board members.
Do Mike and I vote?
I think so. I don't vote unless there's a tie. I don't think there's going to be a tie. Because there's seven, right?
Yes.
All
right, don't mind the very crooked papers.
We'll just hold them up. I'll hold on to one.
And if we come up with 11 ballots, we've got a problem.
Yeah, how do you want to do this? Here, why don't I do it this way?
You want to collect them?
Yeah, I'll collect them.
Since you're not voting.
Watch his hands very carefully.
Good thing your sleeves are rolled up.
Yeah, I would say it's Denise.
Yeah, this is like Survivor. Sorry, come on, Abby. You gotta bring up like a pole and
you know, like, dream to be on Survivor.
You were hurt. Mike's gonna like.
You don't want to open them one at a time? No, everyone gets voted out.
Vanquish plane.
Actually, you should do it private. I'm going to close right now. Both nominations.
Right. Oh, alright. Okay. Thank you, John. Is there a motion to close nominations?
I'll motion to close nominations.
Right. I'll second it.
Alright. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's how you shop.
And I have 4 votes for Abigail LeGros and 3 votes for Dr. Michael Terpius.
I'm hoping as the head of school you can count those 7.
Yes.
Alright. And
does Abigail hold an executive position?
No.
Okay. No, she did not. Laura has agreed to stay on as secretary, and George has agreed to stay on as treasurer. Are there nominations for anybody else?
Either of those roles.
And we'll go one by one. We'll do the secretary first. Are there any nominations for secretary?
Nope, you don't work.
We can't type that.
Yeah. Okay. Hearing none, Laura, what's that?
Nominate.
Okay.
Yeah, she has to nominate.
Okay.
Second.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Do you accept, Laura?
I accept.
And is there. Do I have to do a motion now, John?
Is there any other nominations?
Are there any other nominations?
Going once, twice.
Going once, twice, 3 times. Hearing none, is there a motion to close the nominations for the position of secretary? I see I'm getting it.
I have a motion to close the nominations first.
Is there a second?
Second.
And usually the secretary actually writes the ballot, does the ballot for the secretary. You can do
secretary the ballot, but the ballot is seeing no opposition.
And now, do I hear a nomination for treasurer?
I nominate George Hudson Depp for treasurer.
Is there a second?
A second.
Do I hear any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Going a third time, are there any other nominations? Hearing none, is there a motion to close the nominations on the position of treasurer?
Motion to close.
Second.
Yep. All right, hopefully, that was the hardest part.
Okay.
All right, so congratulations to everybody. Next, we'll go through, Denise, I didn't prepare you for this. Well, I didn't say I was going to do this, but are there any acknowledgement of student or staff
achievements? I just have two quick things. I want to acknowledge the staff who are tanned and relaxed here tonight. So I look around me, and honestly, you know, at the end of the school year, they would have looked as calm and happy. So first of all, I hope everyone's having a good summer. And the other staff acknowledgement that I wanted to make is our very own Melissa Tracy, who is a high school social studies teacher. She has been nominated, and she's stepped to be part of the Teacher Advisory Council for the National Humanities Center in D.C. They've been around for 4 years. It's a pretty big deal. So she will be working on curriculum and representing not only Odyssey, but the state of Delaware. And she'll be bringing all that great knowledge and work back to Odyssey. And it really fits so nicely with our mission to create global citizens. And we're really proud of Melissa for her work.
Thank you very much, Denise. It's nice to get that during the summertime, too.
Just to make sure I can get that to Teacher Advisory on National Humanities Council. Oh, yes, thank you. Love it.
So next we'll go to monthly financial review. Karen, thank you very much.
I put a copy in the number. So we are reviewing the results of operations as of June 30th, which is obviously the end of the fiscal year. And looking at revenues first, revenues came in at just over 100% for the year compared to the original final budget. The monies that were received in June, we received $14,000 from the state. That's for teacher degrees and sick pay payouts upon retirement that occurred after the last time we got any money from the state, so it's the end of the year. Some local interest and miscellaneous receipts. CSCRP is Children's Services Cost Recovery Program. That's always just a little bit of money that comes back. And then your normal monthly amounts for food service, aftercare, student body activities, rent, capital campaign contributions were $102,000, that was the welfare donation. And then there was a small reduction in the federal grants. At the end of the year, the Department of Education reallocates the funds and what have you across the state, and obviously did lose $9,500. Most of that is Title I. Not an issue to the bottom line budget because there were a couple of things under the Title I grant that didn't occur this year. So it doesn't really impact the overall budget for the year or results of operations. Does anybody have any questions on revenue?
No.
Okay. On the expenditures, the final expenses to date are at 95.8% of the budget. We really talked about all of this at last month, because if you recall, June, we knew what the June activity was by the time we had the board meeting. So this is within almost a few $1,000s of the results of operations that we looked at during the month of June. Some slight savings in salaries and benefits. We always put a little contingency in those areas because we never know who's going to continue to get advanced degrees and what have you. Contracted services, you know, again, as we looked at last month, a lot of pluses and minuses, but overall there were savings of $33,000 under contracted services. Materials and supplies did go over about $40,000. And building improvements, we didn't spend $358,000 of what was in the budget for building improvements, but that is merely a timing issue. Because there's continuing work going on, and we had budgeted expenses to spend all of the capital campaign money because that's not available for operations. So that will carry into next year. The actual balance in the capital campaign is $403,000. of that fund that we keep separate. Remember, we keep the capital money totally separate. We don't use it for anything but capital expenses. And $403,000 of that will flow into the next year to continue to fund the classroom additions and the big gym. And
so Karen, just a quick question. So you said that all of the capital budget is only used for capital improvements.
Right.
And that
all
includes
the fundraising that was done, whether it was welfare or the reserve from Zions, donations from the community, some other small grants that were received, those all have been put into a separate fund, and only the construction costs for the elevator, the classroom additions, and the large gym go against that fund.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes. So the bottom line cash at the end of the year is $3.979 million. Of that, the $403 that we just talked about is segregated. So the cash available to carry forward for operations in the next year budget is $3.5 million, $3,576,000. Our final budget had a surplus of $3.3 million without spending the contingency. So we ended up with about $250,000 more than we had been projecting.
Excellent.
Audit firm is here now, going through all the records and conducting their annual audit.
Karen, you mentioned an elevator. Which elevator? What are we doing with the elevator? Do you happen to?
The elevator over between 22 and 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
That and that'll be ready for next year? Next fall? Yes, John?
I have nothing to do with the elevator.
But the materials are, to my knowledge, the materials are on site. And I'll follow up on that and make sure.
All right, cool, thanks.
And then, Karen, do we need to put the, talk about the web?
Yes, so the second page of your report is the web report that the board needs to take action on, and will be posted on the website. So, you know, it reflects the numbers that we just talked about, slightly over 100% of revenue collected and 95.8% of the expenses occurred. And you can see that $3.9 million shows the bottom line cash. But as we just discussed, that was broken out into two pieces.
Does anybody have any questions for Karen? Karen, thank you.
We need a
and
to
right,
the
right. Do we have a motion to accept? Do I hear a motion to accept the vote?
I'll make that motion.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Just waiting for Laura. Thank you very much, Karen. Anything else to add? Is that it?
We had discussed last time that we would most likely be looking at a budget this evening. We're not bringing a budget forward. A couple of reasons. One is we don't know a lot more information than we knew last month. We still don't know the district revenues. We don't know the transportation reimbursement from the state. In addition to that, after the July 5th meeting that you had the succession committee. And until that committee has done their work, we don't really have a transition plan in place or if there might be expenses related to that. So we're operating under the conservative budget that we did show the board last month, and we fully expect to have a budget for a board vote at the August meeting. And as soon as we have that available, we'll get that up to the board so you can have a look at it before.
Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
All right. School operations update. Ricardo, if you have any. Denise, if you have anything.
Go ahead. All right. Good evening, board. As my first official appearance as head of school, I put together a brief report. Summer is a different animal. I want to start off by saying that as of July 1st, I assumed the role as head of school, and as Super Florida stepped into the role of chief campus operations officer here at Odyssey. And it's been an exciting 18 days, but also it's been really fruitful. Ricardo and I have had opportunity to sit down and talk through some of our plans and goals for the school and our roles in working together. And it's really great to have the staff here, or at least some representatives of our staff, because it's an exciting period that we're moving into. With the co-leadership role, and I want you to know that I really do feel that Ricardo and I are off to a great start, a great working relationship together, and I believe really that we're going to bring a lot of value to the school, and thank you for a great 18 days as far as
that. Thank you.
So some housekeeping and some items that are worth talking about tonight. First is, most importantly, is enrollment. Our target for this year is 1795, and we are very much in track to hit that target and perhaps even exceed that, but the numbers bounce around over the summer. They bounce up, they bounce down, so really that happens through August even. It'll slow down as the summer progresses, but regardless, I feel very comfortable in saying that we'll hit that 1795 target for next year, and that's what the budget is based on. There is plenty of summer work going on right now, and some of the folks that are here tonight are part of that work. First, myself, along with the senior leadership team, the deans, we've been sitting down and going through data from the past school year so that we can develop the school improvement plan for next year. It's a collaborative process, and then when the teachers come back in August, they will also, we'll have our fair, or our bones, the backbone of the school improvement plan, and the teachers will add to that, and that's the process that we went through last year. We also have content area, the department, English department, getting together tomorrow to work on curriculum maps and curriculum work, and all the departments will be participating in that throughout the summer. We have our response to intervention review team coming together. RTI is a federally mandated program to provide supports to students who are below grade level in either math or reading. And we believe that we can do better than we are doing now, and we believe that the schedule can be optimized, and ultimately that we can provide better services to our students and support our teachers in the process. So we have the Brain Trust coming together this summer to work on that so that we can revisit that and launch a program that meets our needs for next year. We also are working on the master's schedule, school schedules, rosters, that's a whole ball of wax, and also new teacher in service is August 16th. 23rd, and then the following week is our in-service week. So we're, even though the students aren't here, we're moving and shaking. Staffing, we are rolling right along. We have 19 new positions for next year, 19 new teaching and support staff positions. And we also have 5 positions that we had in place for the 17-18 school year that we need to fill. And you can see on your notes there were 2 non-renewals and 1 out-of-state move. So it was pretty reasonable, the number when we hired over 50 new staff last year. We're feeling pretty good going into this hiring season. Of those 24 positions, 5 are still open. If you know any drama or art, please send them our way. In addition, we have one student advisor position that was filled. We are announcing those positions soon to the staff and families. And we have one district level, as we call it, because we are a district as well as a school, a position of supervisor of schools, and I just wanted to run down briefly some of the responsibilities associated with that supervisor of schools, which you may think, well, wasn't that you to me just a long time ago? And it is, but the role has changed a little bit. Working, that position would be working with the Consolidated Grants, Department of Ed Support, DEI, professional development, in service, discipline items that may escalate beyond the building level, and you know, there's a kind of a ladder of progression for both the students and the families and staff and all the teachers will get it. Yeah, the weekly communication, the choice process, which takes place in November through January, scheduling, purchasing, et cetera, et cetera. So there's certain responsibilities that this position will be responsible for. It is posted on joint Delaware schools. So that one's out there. That just got posted last week. Any questions so far?
And that was the question is, are you posting it on joint Delaware schools?
Yes.
Are there any other sites if people are interested in applying for these positions?
That's typically where we post.
Okay.
Is on joint Delaware schools. It's a free services. Right, but also it's actually well trafficked. Most people who are looking for positions here in Delaware, they know that's a good spot.
Most districts post that.
Anyway, yes, it's great. I'm working with Karen on the consolidated grants that will be due on August 10th. So over the next 2 weeks, I will be drafting that, working with Karen to go through revisions. But because we don't, that position event or that work will eventually be supervised by the supervisor of schools, but right now, me. So that's on its way. Summer camp is taking place. If you happen to come by on Wacky Water Wednesdays, you would see a water slide out front of the intermediate school. So come on over. No one will, you know, stop you if you want to try out the slide. But we have about 25 to 30 campers each week. It ranges from kindergarten up to about probably 6th or 7th grade. And then we have some of our older students are serving as counselors in training. So it's a really nice program. And honestly, the kids are having a lot of fun. So and there's weekly field trips. Tomorrow they're going to Killens Pond to the water park there. Summer academic assistance wrapped up, 2 weeks of that, and we have extended school year services going on. If you are on Twitter at all, that's great, and if you aren't, shame on you, you should, but you have to follow @GregAltmeyer, because he is posting, he is in Greece right now with the Harvard trip. And you should see what he's doing over there. It is amazing. So he and our high school student, Alyssa
Debayo,
are in Greece right now working with Harvard University Center for Hellenic Studies, what we've been talking about for so long. They are in Greece and enjoying the heck out of their time there. So go see the pictures. It looks amazing. Last but not least, we had representatives from the Delmarva Boy Scout Council here today talking with a couple of our sixth grade teachers. We are bringing a program called STEM Scouts to our school during the school day next year during enrichment. FYI, Boy Scouts is not just for boys anymore, but I just want to point this out, that this was a wonderful opportunity that an acquaintance of Business Associate of Joe's, Tim Holly, who's a parent here, put us in touch with this program, and lo and behold, it took, you know, the seed and it grows, and we'll have this wonderful program available to our sixth grade students next year. So community partnerships and building opportunities for our students, it's happening even during the summer, and that's all.
It can happen anytime, anywhere, with anyone.
That's true. That's true. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Ricardo?
Yeah.
All right, I'll leave the microphone down there.
Good evening, and I want to echo the words that Denise has shared. It's been a privilege to connect with her and start the journey here on campus. And it's been a hectic almost 3 weeks now as I dive into the operations side, working with the operations leaders, Kim at food service, Dino with IT, and his team of me, myself, and I.
It's a very split personality.
And you know, John on everything that is campus, facilities, those operations, and finally with Evan, who is about, in the next 2 weeks, about to receive his brand spanking new buses. I'll just talk very, very quickly a little bit of the things that I have been engaged in. Number one, getting to know members of the administration and the leadership team, both at the school level and at the operations level, and trying to play the ongoing support that I have had with Evan and the negotiations with Red Clay. I'm going to let him talk a little more on transportation. Food service, working with Kim, we owe our staff there some contracts and agreements, and looking at that. But we're also trying to thread through the agreements with academia for the coming year, and they're growing to potentially over 600 students this year, which is a significant growth. Last year they were at 490, and that definitely has an impact on the food operations and the food service. Other initiatives, working very closely with the business team and with Denise on all the budgeting initiative activities and the departmental budgets per se, the food service budget, the transportation budget, which all feed into the school budget, and tightening those as the variables are becoming more transparent. I've started getting more involved on some of the construction projects. This is just more recently in terms of the fit out of Building 23. Some of the activities that Dimitri was leading, I'm trying to start jumping in and provide supports at that level. Working on a lease, taking up once again from Dimitri, there's and the discussions around the lease agreement with All the Difference, and we're having meetings with them to close that and put that into place. I've also kicked off an initiative where I would like to see us put a parallel goal management and performance management system that sort of runs in parallel with PPAS, the academic team under Denise has an organized web-based or computer-based goal-setting performance management system. That has not been put into place in the past on the administrative side, and I'm pushing hard. I have used web-based performance management systems for the operating sides of the organization, and we've talked a little bit about it, and I'm pursuing that because I think it's critical to allow people and have people know in their areas what we are expecting from them and make sure that it is aligned with the broader mission that we have for the school and as established in the strategic plan. finally, not finally, based on some inputs from Lauren Ivey, some of you might know Karen, there seems to have been some traction with John's involvement around a playground expansion study. There seems to be a need for more playground infrastructure. And so instead of just looking at it pointedly and say, how can we use the K2 space that's available, et cetera, here in Building 20, got the support of putting a working group similar to the transportation committee that was so successful with representation from the board, administration, school leader, building leaders, a couple of teachers, parents, and John and myself sort of on the operations side to do an analysis of expectation for us to bring recommendations and see what the budget implications so that we can implement it for the coming budget year. And it's systematic. It looks within the broader needs and availabilities of the campus, how do we implement an organized plan to provide more infrastructure there for our children in recess. So that email went out to a number of people. I'm reaching out to a couple of the board members to see if they would be interested in participating. I've spoken to Laura. If there's anybody else on the board that would be interested to represent the board on that committee, please let me know. John has been spearheading the LED project on campus. The grant is in. Work is about to start in the next 2 weeks. And I believe it will start in building this building, right?
Parking lots first.
Oh, parking lots first, and then building 20, 21.
21.
22. Okay. And then just highlight, you're seeing all the movement around the campus in terms of the beautification projects.
It already looks better.
That interestingly enough, initial steps have been taken. There's a lot of kudos already coming in terms of everything that is occurring, which is great. Any questions about what's been going on in the past couple of weeks? With that, I just want to pass the word to Evan, who's going to have a quick update on everything transportation and the wildly successful meeting he had this afternoon.
Come over here. Thanks, Evan. Speakers are over here. I usually talk over there. Good evening. Going to talk a little bit about current operations, our fall launch, which is pretty close, and our Red Clay partnership. We're going to continue to interview drivers. We have solidified 5 drivers. They're in the process of filling out their paperwork. We currently have 4 drivers on our waiting list. We're going to continue to grow that. I was actually informed today that we do not actually have the hire a bus driver on Join Delaware Schools. So with that being said, we hired the drivers we needed for the upcoming program, but I'm going to continue to interview, and we're going to put that job posting on Join Delaware Schools ASAP. We're also going to be conducting interviews for a morning transportation dispatcher with the possible Red Clay partnership. We need someone on dispatch and at our phones basically whenever a bus is out of our yard. We had our July communication with our start times that went out last Wednesday. Yesterday, I met with Adam at Academia to talk about timing, not only timing of school strategy, but also traffic windows. And we put out a transportation communication last year that discussed traffic windows because of the fact that we have over 700 cars, just Odyssey, and Academia has somewhere around, and this is without staff, Academia has a little bit over 100 cars on campus of just car riders. We're looking to look at the timings of both schools, and I do have Academia's times. They are not published yet. I will announce what they are. They are not finalized yet. But we are looking at one car line maps, talking about how the traffic can flow correctly, and looking at car line windows, not only for intermediate, high school, upper school, which is going to be one car line, lower school, which is going to be another car line, but also Academia. Their arrival time, they're looking at 8 to 8:15. Their buses are looking to arrive between 8:10 and 8:15, and the dismissal for them is 3:10 to 3:25, and their buses will dismiss at 3:30. That is the tail end of our lower school dismissal. Again, I'll repeat that. So all the other buildings, the students are in, parents are gone in the morning. That is when Academia parents and buses will be coming on campus. Again, the tail end of our arrival, and the same thing with their dismissal. High school, upper school, intermediate school, parents will be off campus. Lower school parents will be leaving campus. The buses will be loading is when they're going to be coming on campus. Does that make sense to anybody but me?
And how does that compare to this year?
So
what would the overlap?
It is, so we overlapped completely this year. So basically, our dismissal times were their dismissal times. Now we are about 15 minutes earlier. Again, at that tail end, really helps. And I did ask them to move up their times a little bit, and they respectfully said that. So.
Are we investigating, Evan, I'm sorry to interrupt, but
sure.
Are we investigating the opening of that other entrance? Because as we grow to a full K-12, and as our seniors and juniors start to drive, God help us, but, you know, what do we need to do? I think we need to get on that ASAP, because it may be something that is a long type of thing.
Which entrance? The one by
Windcrest? Yeah, the Windcrest.
It's not really an entrance.
So
it would need construction.
Yeah.
Well, it's a sorry, I'm gonna interrupt here. It's a two closed gates with a grass pathway around the utility structures that are built down there. Comcast just recently pulled in fiber line that the state is changing through that pathway, and I don't believe the owner knows that we own the property. That roadway. So may have to have some legal representation look into the matter with the.
Do we need to contact DLDOT to see if we can allow have access to the road?
Maybe Ricardo.
Yeah. Newcastle County.
Let me provide some. As you pointed out, it's an 18-month to 2-year because there's electrical infrastructure in the ground and above the ground. And there's all the permitting and licensing that is going to be required. And then there's going to be a major investment to move everything. So it's not something that we can think about doing unless we get special funding, et cetera, to be able to make it happen in a 12-month window, unfortunately. But yes, it's another one of my to-do lists. In the sense of starting to look at that and understand with the folks that right now on the ground, we're trying to make sure that we get building 23 up and running in terms of the classrooms there and building 21, the classroom. That really is priority 000. And then we can start pulling in the Tim Skibickis and the Jay Freeberries to start thinking about what that might look like. And as we said, legal lawyers, et cetera, property and real estate owners. So we may start looking at it later into this
school year. Or when school starts.
Yes. Now, I think that the work that Evan has been doing together with Adam, with the growth and the staggering of times, is going to alleviate. But the point you make is critical, not only in terms of how we're growing, but also at some point in time in the next 2-3 years, we're going to have Petanara starting his construction work, etc., which will, and then opening. The other aspect that is on our docket, as per conversations that I had with Academia's board chair, is we're going to come back. This year we chose to run our programs in parallel. Very intentional decision in terms of a response from academia. It did not make sense for them to say, after 1 year that we've been managing and doing it successfully, why would we turn it over to another person again? Which makes sense. Couple of years under their belt in the fall, October, November, we're going to sit down with academia and start looking also, is there a campus-wide solution that will minimize the demand for additional buses next year to alleviate? So it's a multi-pronged approach.
Ricardo, you mentioned Petanara, and that reminded me, Dimitri mentioned some time ago, I don't know if it was at one of our board meetings, that with Petanara coming on board, that area down there, the parking lot, the county may make it a stormwater retention pond?
No. I think that ship has sailed.
Okay.
That's
good.
Not, the likelihood of that
you think, or
is very, very small.
Okay.
But yes, things can change. Is there a need for that? No. But yes, that's another issue because we don't want to lose
space.
Those 4 acres.
Can we get on the other end, just can we get a comeback from you maybe around Thanksgiving time or something on where we are, details in terms of options, low cost, high cost, in terms of what we can do and where we are and potential opportunities to move forward, so we can kind of think about that, because between Odyssey and Academia and everybody else, the volume going through here is going to be significant. So do we need an alternative entrance, even if it's temporary, part-time, whatever it is, just start to looking at it and thinking about it.
The back entrance.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, because Tammy does make a good point that her position in the secondary school really helps her think about it with students driving to increase the number of cars on campus. If there's going to be a policy that they're allowed to, or if there's a policy that they're not, or, you know, and as far as the entrances, so.
It also helps with campus security. If there's a second exit, if there's an issue going on one of these buildings, people can exit the back way. So that definitely needs to be a priority. Campus security.
Okay. Yes.
There are some other possible alternatives as opposed to just that back entrance. The old Odyssey Charter School building that now sits across our athletic fields is only 20 feet from our street to that parking lot. With proper legal jurisdictions and licenses and everything, it is possible to break the pole for that fence and just pave through and have an entrance right back into that path mark parking lot. Again, things to be explored and other options.
Yeah, the idea is that there's that alleyway there that
it's not far.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Very good. Whatever the board decides, I'll bring buses and or cars in and out of that entrance. Very good. I'm going to continue to meet with Academia. We're going to draft a communication where the verbiage for not only our communication, but their communication will mirror to not only support each other, but ensure traffic windows and ensure flow on campus. Today we held our transportation advisory meeting. I was amazed at the two people who came out to it. And we do have Ms. Marconi, who I'm going to ask her to raise her hand, who comes out and continues to support the transportation department and gave some very good recommendations about what the car line maps will look like and sound like. The goal is to have them out in the coming weeks. Our fall launch, which I will not tell you how many days, our fall launch is away, but Bluebird contacted me this week, and two of our buses, our new propane buses, are in, and the other three are en route. They take about a week or two to run through them to make sure that they are ready and suited to be driven. We updated our TripSpark contract, and we continued and validated that pricing. I am in the process of finalizing our first student routes. I have a meeting with Reggie at the beginning of next week. My goal is to have those routes distributed and on our website out to families by August 3rd. We're going to continue to refine the budget. The main piece that we're waiting for is our final discussions with Red Clay. And I'm going to lead into our meeting with Red Clay, which was yesterday. We met with Kelly Shahan, the transportation supervisor, to further build our potential partnership. Red Clay shared an MOU. They also shared a draft contract, which we will share with the board. They also shared the 9 proposed Cook Elementary School runs that we will, again, still possibly be running. We discussed the Red Clay calendar and their start date of August 27th, which is a week before us. Dispatch radios and the purchase of a base station. And the training of all our drivers and what their Red Clay protocol is over the radio. And the idea of having a base station in their office so they can communicate not only directly with us, but then directly with our bus drivers. Red Clay, again, this is a discussion, has said that they will donate 9, possibly to 11 four-piece bus cameras, and they will be installed on all of our buses. Again, still in discussions. We're looking at pricing to install. A data point for you, when I did a review of what the cost for these cameras are, they were $1,100 per a piece, and that is without installation. So they are looking to donate them. They're pulling them off of first student buses, and they're going to be installed on our buses. Also in discussion is having our training with them. Their training is set for August 16th, which is a four-hour training which grants all of our drivers their purple card. You cannot be on a bus with without a validated purple card from your transportation supervisor. We're looking to piggyback off of their training. We're also looking to join Red Clay. They're, for the first time, they're doing full CPI training for all of their drivers. And Kelly did ask me with that partnership that if we would like to join them, and I gladly said yes. We're also, CPI is certified restraint. So if a student is de-escalation and restraint training in and or on a bus. So, and again, that would be at the cost of Red Clay. We're also looking and have proposed to possibly utilize Red Clay's diesel and propane services on their site. We're waiting on pricing. Now, keep in mind, they receive state pricing, so it should be very favorable on our side, especially if you look at the price and rise of diesel and gas over the past couple months. And the biggest piece of it is that we're still waiting for the transportation formula to come out, because we cannot get pricing on what it's going to cost to run a route through Red Clay without that formula coming out. So, and we're still again waiting on the price per pupil. Ms. Friedel asked me to tell all teachers and all staff to please fill out that survey that she sent out. And if you have any friends, you should have friends, right? Tell all your friends who haven't filled it out too. Or any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
You mentioned a person responsible for dispatch. I'm a bit concerned given our budget. Does that mean we have to hire another person? Is this something that can be accomplished? I don't know if you're saying with transportation through you, since you have like a wealth of knowledge with the busing, but given the fact that, you know, we're on a tight budget with, you know, with everything, it would seem kind of illogical to hire somebody additional for a dispatch.
Sure. So looking at it, we did already build it into the current budget that we have right now. And looking at it from a time frame, when our drivers are in their buses and doing our routes to when they would be leaving their buses would be and I would be happy to do it. Unfortunately, it would be like 13 to 14 hour days. It would be a 6:30 to a possibly 6:30, 7 o'clock time frame, depending on what runs that we're doing. And that is the idea, and I know administration has brought up the idea of doing extra after school runs and or sports runs, which we're talking about bringing in-house some sports runs. You know, a dispatcher stays on until that last bus is back in the yard.
So what's the cost of the dispatch?
Part-time position.
Part-time? But yet they're doing 13 to 14 hours a day. That's
not...
No,
I think that's what you think. Okay. If you had to double up, two comments. You know, I think we're, A, would be fortunate to have Evan focusing on building a wildly successful transportation program. As we build a partnership with Red Clay, there's high expectations of success in this partnership. And it's the first partnership that we are undertaking. And they're excited because they believe that partnering with us will help solve some of their quality problems with other vendors. And so at this, you know, as we're building this, which eventually will enhance additional revenue streams, because right now we're going to have 9 buses generating revenue, which will reduce the take from from the budget, so we can continue contributing to operations. This successful, with this next step being successful, I think it will continue allowing us to build. So it's a small investment because it's part-time, 2.5 hours in the morning, 2.5 hours in the afternoon, I believe. Okay, it's not going to have the bennies and all of that. And I believe to continue building the success, it is a critical incremental investment so that he can have oversight, because he will also be in touch now as we are transporting, or as we hopefully will be transporting Red Clay. He has to keep an eye on the bus drivers as they, you know, run those routes and be able to run interference, etc. He can't do the dispatching and run interference at the same time, something that he found himself last year, you know, when there was
the critical times and the issues. Trying to deal with the parents, trying to reach out directly to Reggie to find out information, keeping the parents on hold. And I think this is becoming more complex. And we want to retain the quality. So yeah, I hear your concern. You know, we know, and Denise knows, that operations, is my goal is to run operations as streamlined as possible. And I always say optimize. We can choose to minimize. And part of optimization allows us to say, here we have to invest strategically a little more. Here we can minimize costs. Okay, depending. And that's why I try to use optimization, because it's a both and for us to know where we should be investing the funds. And you know, this 5-hour position, I think, as the next step, is going to be critical for him to continue being as effective as he has been, dealing now with 11 buses plus the 12, because we still have 12 from Reggie, plus the fact that 9 buses are going to do double runs, and we've got a client to satisfy. Does that
make
sense?
Thank you. Yep, it is.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Evan.
Thank you, Evan. Next is PTO report.
The day, page
Laura?
There was not anything.
Back on the report. Tammy?
All right. Well, despite the fact that I went to the store today and saw back to school sales, that's ridiculous. All right, put on the brakes here. I just want to say that there are over 20 teachers here tonight, 20 teachers and staff. And I just want to, you know, give a big shout out to all our teachers and staff.
Bravo.
And parents.
And parents,
yeah.
But what are those teachers and staff? On our first ever advanced placement course here at Odyssey, I'm happy to report that 8 out of 9 students scored a 4 or 5.
Sammy, what was that in?
AP Human Geography, taught by Melissa Tracy. I talked with her last week, and she had mentioned it, and I was AP Human Geography.
Thank you.
And I said, well, can I please announce it? Because she's on vacation this week, so, which is phenomenal. She taught at Conrad for years, and when you look at the percentage, it is far above and beyond what she got at Conrad all those years.
Excellent.
So we are very happy about that. Our teachers worked on summer school these past couple of weeks, and also our teachers have been completing different summer professional development. They've been going to classes. We still have them going to their different colleges and doing work in addition to their classrooms. And, you know, I'm just so proud at the amount of work our teachers have been putting in over the summer. You know, it's unfortunately a lie that teachers, you know, have off 2 months a year when we truly don't. And it's so good to see everybody, you know, continuing to do such great work here at Odyssey. And that's it.
All right.
Thanks, Tammy.
Thank you, Tammy. And does anybody have any strategic plan committee reports? None? All right, well, like I said last time, at the last meeting, the strategic plan is important for the school. And for everybody here, especially now that we have a big audience at this meeting, if you go on the website, there are 9 committees that we can all be a part of. There's the campus committee, there's fundraising, there's construction and facilities, there's creating a world-class employee environment, things like that. So please, everybody, take a minute to go and look at that. Read them all, see if there's one that perks your interest. And I think there are links to the people who, at least on the board, that have engaged in those committees. I think there are links to their emails. So if you want to get involved, click on the link, send an email, and say, I'd like to be involved. Let's get a meeting together. So just takes one person. So I encourage everybody to look at it again, maybe with fresh eyes, and let's really get these committees back up and running again.
Joe, if I can add, when staff come back in August, that Ricardo and I can work to make it that an easy process. We can have sign-ups right
great.
There.
Great, that's fantastic.
So take a look, and then we'll regroup next month.
Like I said, I've always been a member of the campus governance and culture committee, and it's been a committee of one. So I'm lonely, so please.
And maybe at back to school night, something like that, the opportunity for parents to have that information as well.
Pick one. Mm-hmm. Find one of nine that they're willing to join in and help everybody, because it helps the whole community.
All right. Evan, we did. Now we'll move on to new business. We've already done election of officers. So now we'll start with the report of the succession committee, which was formed at the last meeting. The succession committee was myself, George Hansandreou, the wonderful Lori Aldrich, who made it to all three meetings. Thank you, Lori, and Ricardo and Denise. So the succession committee was created at the last meeting on with the recommendation of John Carwell, who is at the Department of Education. He kind of gave us the idea of it, and we ran with it. The succession committee was formed in reaction to the fact that this school has gone through a lot of transition in the last several months. And we are now, Denise has stepped into Nick's role, and I have stepped into Dimitri's role. And so there's going to be, with those two high-level positions, there's going to be some transitional issues that we need to address. And so, honestly, I wish we'd started this committee months ago. It's always good to have a succession plan when you don't know what the future holds. So, and we've also been blessed at this school with a past board member who has devoted essentially every waking hour of his time to this school for free. And I'm talking about Dimitri. And now with Nick gone, there's also things that Denise needs to be supported on. So this succession committee is doing two things. It's looking both in the short term and the long term. And the short term is this immediate, you know, July, August, September, start of school, 30 to 60 days. How are we going to get this school continue on its trajectory to the school that we all know it can be with those two people that we've lost? So the other thing that has been a lot more recent in this history is, and I hope everybody's aware of this. If not, I'll announce it again. But Dimitri Dandelos has been nominated as a Heppin of the Year. He was, and maybe Michael Kirafidis can correct me on this, but he was awarded District 5 a Heppin of the Year. Correct? Okay. So just to give you an idea, so there are chapters of AHEPA, the American Hellenic Education Progressive Association, which founded this school. There are chapters all over America and internationally. And we are the Wilmington chapters, chapter 95, and there are many more chapters beyond that. And then they group them also into districts. The Wilmington chapters in District 5. So Dimitri was awarded District 5 a Heppin of the Year. What states does District 5?
New Jersey, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware.
Too bad they can't throw in the Virgin Islands. No. So it's a.
He was awarded it from his work that he's done.
Right.
He
was awarded. Right. So
he's now up for a national.
Right. Okay. So the basis for that award was the work that he's done for the last 13 years at this school as teacher, as interim headmaster for a year and a half, and as board president, board vice president, board member, board president. So now he's up for the AHEPIN of the Year, which will be chosen at the upcoming next week, a HEPIN National Convention, which is occurring in New Jersey, in Atlantic City. So as a result of him being honored, hopefully honored in this capacity, a HEPA nationally has decided to make this national convention kind of a showcase for Odyssey. And so the Supreme President, a guy named Carl Hollister, decided, look, Odyssey is fantastic. We want to make this a jewel of not just HEPA, but of state of Delaware and nationally. And so he visited, when was that, June 5th? June 5th he came. Dimitri and Denise, I think, Ricardo and some other members gave him a tour, put on a presentation, and wowed him. So he is opening up the door for this AHEPA National Convention next week to allow us to showcase Odyssey. And what better person to do that than the person who's done it all along with AHEPA, Dimitri. So that was one of the that was one of the pressure points that we felt to engage in this analysis of how do we go from someone who'd been devoting their full time to this pro bono to continuing the trajectory of the school to the place where we all want it to be. So that's what this succession committee, that's why it was formed. It's the genesis of it. Like I said, I wish that this committee had been formed months ago, but here we are, better late than never. So what we started out looking at was kind of the things that we need at this school to become successful. What are the things that we need, and what are the competencies that we need to bring this school to the level that we all know it can be? So with the help of Ricardo, Denise, George, and Lori, we came up with, for lack of a better term, a bucket list of things that we want. So I'll pass this out to the board, and I'll pass it out to everybody else, too. You know what? You know what we need to do? We need to like change the outlay of these tables. Yeah. You know, make it like a, in fact, make it like a V or something like that. It's very annoying.
Yeah, we need like a
new level. We need another one, another table.
Bench.
Yeah, I agree.
The gavel.
Yeah.
Couple chairs.
Tilt this table.
We could. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We could do. Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Let's go.
I'll just bring some.
So.
Oh, it's Curly. Yeah. He's so funny.
So, and I'd just like to say that, look, I don't want to sit here and talk all night. I know nobody wants to hear that. So if anyone from the committee wants to chime in, George, Lori, please, Ricardo and Denise, or if anybody has any questions, feel free to stop me at any time. So some of the things, and this list is not exhaustive. I'm sure that there are things that we may have missed. This, in the time that we were together, was what we felt as a committee were the big ticket items that we felt this school needs to further its mission and vision of this school as I said last time, a global education center, one that focuses on a dual language educational model with Greek and English. And so if you go down this list, these are all things that either are going on, have been going on, or I don't think there's anything on here that we wish could go on, but isn't. But a lot of these things are things that the committee felt that we needed. For example, Greek fluency. This is no slight to Denise and Ricardo, but neither of them speak Greek. I don't speak Greek yet. Exactly. yet. And me too. I wish, I say that to myself every day too. As a Greek dual language school, that can be important, especially when you hear about the Ahepin connections, the work with University of Thessalonica in Greece, and other Aristotle University, sorry, and other potentially the Greek ministry, and other partnerships that we can maintain with Greek speaking entities and partners. Another one is fundraising. Not just at the capital level that we always talk about, but also at the operating level. And kind of hand in hand with the capital fundraising is the coordination of capital construction, building out Building 23, building the classrooms that we need, the gym, and other things like that. Operating is more on the day-to-day level, specific projects, things like that. There's also, as Ricardo has said several times here tonight, there's the idea of that we're just not a single school, but we also have tenants that are a source of revenue for this school. And that's not only in the operational level, but also at the board level. We, as the owner of the property, this board, can engage with other boards who are tenants at this campus. For example, Academia Antonio Alonso. There should be an interconnection between the board, this board, and that board. And Dimitri.
Everyone's complaining they're hot. Don't
oh, really?
Grab water. So does anybody want water?
Anybody? I'm fine. Thank you, Kim. And
thank you.
No, thank you. Thanks, Kim. And one of the things that Dimitri did well was he engaged with the head of the board at Academia Antonio Alonso and nurtured a relationship between them, because we want them to be here, they want to be here, we need to nurture that relationship. Another one, our teaching resources, staffing, supplies. The school will not succeed without world-class employees. Again, going back to the strategic plan, there's a committee for building the world-class employee workforce. That's something that this school needs, and Denise is here taking over for Nick's role in nurturing that as well. Also, supplies. Teachers need supplies too. Next is the academic programming. That was building out the educational model, building out through K through 12, a curriculum K through 12. Again, that's what Denise is here for. Going down to list number 7, Greek program development and integration. There were two components of that. One is the academic programming that Dr. Marina is doing, and that includes the immersion and the FLES programs. But there's also a second component that Denise discussed earlier today about the student going to Greece and studying abroad there. It's those partnerships that Marina and Dimitri have cultivated over the years that can really push forward the mission and vision of this school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One big partnership that may be coming, Aristotle University is talking about opening up a teaching center on campus to teach Greek language to teachers. So that could be a major partnership for our staff. So,
correct.
Didn't we discuss, we used to have a off hours Greek classes that was available, and that
yep.
somehow
I did them.
You did them.
Yep.
I know some other people I know did them as well. And I think that program went to the side somehow, went sideways. Is there any possibility of looking into reinstating it?
So sure.
Get
sure.
They even had a summer camp
absolutely.
Too, like
even
for students
camp.
Who were coming
I mean,
on.
Even myself, I mean, I'm interested in going back and reviewing my basic Greek grammar, which would be a wonderful opportunity.
Sure, sure. So that may be a little getting down into that detail. That may not be fodder for the succession committee, but that's
right,
definitely
well,
something that we need to
you know, you hit a
we need to consider. So the next one is again in the academic realm, special education and supports. And then on the operations side, operations and business management. On the next page, and I double-sided it, hopefully someone appreciates that a lawyer double-sides. non-academic and community relationships. What does that include? That includes a wellness program that Dimitri had been cultivating with Nemours. And with academia. It also includes partnerships with the University of, no, that would be academic. There was also, I'm blanking on this, George, Lori, the non-academic and community relationships. I mean, really, there would be Pet Narrow, a relationship with Pet Narrow. There would be a relationship with other tenants that come in on a non-academic basis, perhaps.
All the difference.
That's more academic, but yeah, something like that. Then that's building tenant relations as well.
And one of the strategic, is all about community.
Exactly.
Community
exactly. I mean, we don't want to be on an island.
Doing extensively work there, but it does tie
with the strategic plan, right? And that's and to highlight something that this committee will continue to do, and we're gonna look at this list in the context of the strategic plan, see what we missed. Ricardo just said there's that committee. There's also a committee, like I said, on fundraising. There's a committee on facilities. So this, we're trying to tie these needs into the strategic plan that we created a couple years ago to further streamline the trajectory of the school. The 12th is investor relations, and that is always ongoing. We are always going to need to maintain those ties with the investors, the bondholders. That's how we were able to purchase this property. Without that, we likely would not be where we are today. So that's an important bucket that is needs to be filled by somebody. And finally, like I just discussed a few minutes ago, there's the AHEPA national relations, both on a short-term and long-term basis. And again, all of these can be viewed through the lens of short-term and long-term. How do we best fill these buckets, short-term and long-term? The non-academic and community relationships. Pet Narrow is not here right now. We need to think about how we're going to be neighbors with them now to prepare for the future where they're actually going to be there. but going back to the AHEPA national relations, the short term is that this, what I discussed earlier, the Dimitri receiving a national AHEPA of the year, his conversations with the Supreme President have potentially opened up opportunities for this school for fundraising that have heretofore not been available. There are foundations at the national level of AHEPA that focus on fundraising for education. There are many in the AHEPA world, many high net worth individuals that would see this as a very worthy cause, and the exposure that this school will get at the AHEPA National Convention will help to nurture those relationships, not just with the individuals, but also with the foundations. So that's these, again, this is a non-exhaustive list. I'm sure that we can, this is what the five of us came up with in the three meetings that we had. So then we looked at, you know, who can fill these roles. And one of the things that we're going to have to do as a committee is figure out how to strategically and optimally, as Ricardo said, optimize the resources to adequately fill those buckets. And how do we do that in a thoughtful way that will be the most beneficial for the school? Because that's what this succession plan is all about. So what is in the best interest of the school? And so that's what we have been discussing for the last three meetings. Thank you, and again, thank you for the parents and teachers that came out to those meetings. There were some there. So thank you. And if anybody has any comments or questions, I'd be happy to, before I get into the recommendations of the committee, If there are any questions or comments from anybody, I'd be happy to answer them. Ricardo, Denise, George, Lori. None? Okay. You know, when we were first sitting down as a committee, we were trying to think, what is our goal here? What's our purpose? What's our deliverable here? And what we wanted to be able to do was to give something, you know, this is an important issue, and we wanted to be able to engage in a thoughtful discussion of it strategically, again, not just for the short term, but the long term. And I think we did that over the last three meetings. Like I said, I don't think our work is done. So this is the first step in this process to see at this stage in this school's life where we have immediate capital construction needs, where we have immediate fundraising needs, where we have immediate and even more recently potential opportunities at the national AHEPIN level. How do we fill those, especially with the I don't want to say absence, but gaps that may occur from people who have been here for a long time now stepping off. So that's what we looked at. Again, we have more work to do, and you can see in the recommendations that this committee is not done. But the first most pressing need is the AHEPIN National Convention. That was one of the things that we discussed at length in the committee. And it's our recommendation. And we did discuss this at the last meeting, kind of. I think Tammy raised it as a potential motion. We decided to leave it for another day. But really the idea is to give Dimitri, who is going to be at the AHEPIN National Convention to accept an award, to also represent the school as immediate past board president, and to be able to sell the school as he's done for the last 13 years, and also to engage in some discussions with AHEPIN's other whoever's going to be there for potential donations, because that's the whole point. The idea that this AHEPIN National Convention will open these doors is a huge opportunity for this school. It could be tens of thousands of dollars. It could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. It could be more than that. Let your imagination run wild. So I think it's important that this board, and frankly for me, I think it's a no-brainer to give him that authority. And also, again, this board, as part of the succession from year to year, this board needs to continue to be engaged at that level and other levels, engaged in the strategic planning committees, engaged in all of these buckets. Board members can be, and members of the public too, teachers, parents, whatever, they can be engaged in all of these. Every stakeholder can be, but we as board members are in unique positions to be able to do that. So we would also recommend that, and school administration and current board members as available should attend with Dimitri and be there with him and support him.
The AHEPIN
convention. No. Event. Yes.
Is what you're specifically speaking about right now.
Which is yes. July 22nd through the 28th. Is that right?
So this, weekend?
You know, the next week. The committee also discussed this as the importance of having a Joe as visible as possible, because it is also part of capacity building, and passing the baton, introducing Joe to people that Dimitri may have had contacts with over the past 2-3 years. This is a process. This is a transition process. You know, so the attendance of board members, AHEPINs, et cetera, is critical for the successful transition.
And just to clarify what you're saying, Joe, just to clarify the recommendation as I'm hearing it, is not, as I think many people had been communicating about, a position, a paid position, but it's more of an honorary title, that he would attend with the honorary title of past board president. I mean,
I mean, I don't even think it's an honorary title. I mean, I think it's a...
It's just it's knowing what,
it's
his
what
connection.
He was. Right, it's what yeah. he was, exactly. I don't think it's...
He was doing the work up until
yeah.
this convention I mean, just falls after his term as president.
Right, he can use it. He
well, now he
right.
has no association with...
He,
well, I, at the meeting, if I may, yeah. I know Carol put it very clear. People can present themselves. I mean, as I am the immediate past president
mm-hmm.
of Odyssey, and I have the opportunity to connect the dots and introduce the new board president, etc., and
right.
allow for the building. I don't think it was, the committee did not think of this as a long-term honorary title.
Yeah.
We've been very intentional of saying we have a very short-term need that will then hopefully have very positive threads that we would then have to articulate. The more engaged the board is, the quicker they can pick up some of these threads and run with them, you know, in that sense. So it's a very specific need, in a sense, to help bridge and put the best foot forward for Odyssey.
So will you have authority to negotiate any connections with any of the donations or donors so that they can...
That you as a board have to discuss
because,
the
yeah,
level of
now,
authority or, you know, autonomy to represent the school, you know, at these meetings. That's
if I could jump in for a second. At the first meeting, no, second meeting, we talked about what are the deliverables for this committee, given the composite and the voices that were there. So what role does the committee serve, and what role does the board serve? And I think this is a perfect example of, we're making the recommendation for Dimitri to serve in this capacity next week, the short term. And then, to your point, it's for the board to decide.
How you want him to represent.
His role while he's there.
It is our responsibility.
So that's the first recommendation. And like Ricardo said, there are going to be some threads that come out of that, of those discussions and those presentations to AHEPA. And I think it's natural to put to give that authority on a limited basis, but we can discuss that. So the next recommendation, as I said, I think this committee is long overdue, and so the committee has decided to recommend to the board that this become a regular committee, and that we not only look at the immediate short term, but also the long term, and so we're going to hold additional meetings to discuss next steps. And this is going to be a monthly meeting that hopefully meets before the board meeting, the monthly board meeting. And so that's the goal for the long term, to figure out how we build this succession plan for people in the future as well. And in the short term, we're still going to continue to evaluate the scope of what we were asked to do the first time. And like I said in here, identify strategies to optimally allocate resources to work that's critical to the future success of the school. Essentially, this list of 13 items. Hopefully we can add one more to get away from
so
13.
We have a 30-day imposed timeline by our colleague Karen, in the sense of being able to, one of the threads that needs to be closed is having the succession committee make recommendations
mm-hmm.
on how best to deliver in these areas.
Why do we have 30 days?
It's not 30 days. It's
Karen was suggesting for finalizing the budget.
Budget, yeah.
I'm just saying the next board meeting.
Because I think we definitely need to, given the fact the last board meeting, I mean, not only did parents, faculty, I mean, the DOE rep had serious, grave concerns about rushing this. this needs to be a process. This cannot
And that's what we're doing. I mean, this is a, it's exactly what we're doing. And it's a process. I don't know that, well, we're going to have another committee meeting, and we're going to have findings for the board at the next discussion. Michael, sorry.
I'm confused. What is exactly that we're rushing and trying to raise the budget? We're talking about adding a permanent position.
That's one of the things that we're going to look at when we identify strategies to optimally allocate resources to these things that are critical to the success of the school. That may be one of the things that we discuss. It may also be hiring consultants to do that work. It could be, you know, with the people that we have in place, using them to do the work that was heretofore done for free.
I just wanted to make a question.
So if that's what you guys are doing, you're going to make a claim that that's what you're doing. This one, we may. So are we or are we not?
So at this time, there is no recommendation for that right now. That's something that we are going to continue to discuss
in the
committee.
Several committees are working.
At the committee level, at the board level.
Which will take place in how many months?
It's going to take place at. There's going to be another committee meeting in August. Right, and we can have several. It's a committee. We can meet whenever we want, as long as we notice it. And then at the next board meeting, we'll have a report.
Well, there should be some final determinations made at that point.
There might be. There may not be. There might be. I don't want to be cagey, but I don't want to promise something and then not deliver. Go ahead, Denise.
I think that, and this is what Ricardo and I were just touching on, the process needs to happen. It can't be dictated by the budget that we need to present next month.
Right.
Or the 30-day, like we impose, like the process has to work through the committee with the input. And that's what we need to lead with, not a budget or because I understand there's an understandable time sensitivity and no one wants to drag out this process. No one does. On the other hand, let's have thoughtful conversation and make sure that we do the work that we need to, you know, in a productive way. And then the committee can come back to the board with our findings.
Right.
That's what I would recommend to the board and to the committee.
We had many fewer attendees at the last meeting when the committee was formed. Just to bring you up to speed, what had happened at the meeting was it was discussed that there is a possible need for a position at the school that could handle all of these things.
One
of the things that we discussed was how many of these things are done by Denise already or in the new head of school position, how many of these things are done by Ricardo or what would be assumed by Ricardo in his position, and our two leaders that we've put in place with their visions, understanding the whole reason for two leaders was because I think having them both speak today helped us understand the scope of what needs to be done and why. I don't think the board was good at communicating why the final recommendation was for two co-leaders. But I think this gives a taste of the things that are needed for the school between the academics that we really need to focus on, because we all know that's the heart and soul of the school. If that's what's built the reputation of the school, that's why Odyssey has grown the way that it has. It's because of the way that it began as a K-2 school and how it grew and had such strength in K-5. It's building its strength in middle school now, and we're developing into that high school as well. And with a leader like Denise, she'll be able to have that focus on that K-12 along with the Greek school integration and making sure that immersion program and the enhanced PLEST, because I gotta say, for my son, who's an eighth grader, rising eighth grader, the Greek program was so much better for him this year And I appreciate it. He enjoyed it more this year because of the things that have been done. So I'm so excited. They weren't learning about months every year again. They were learning about new things. So it was really exciting to see that growth. But being able to pull that vision together, it's very intensive, very cognitive intensive. However, on the other side, we have our landlord responsibilities that we have. I mean, we still have St. Thomas that we're trying to figure out what to do with St. Thomas. I mean, we have the buildings that are here. We have our construction that we want to get going with and get our gym. I mean, I really think we ought to have buckets at every event that says, build the gym, and people put a quarter in, people put a dollar in, whatever. It all adds up. I mean, there's 1,700 kids projected to be here, so it's probably at least 1,500 families. You know what I mean? Because there's siblings, stuff like that. Everybody puts in a dollar or two, that will help pick away at that. But anyway, but we also have the transportation that's happening, that we have Evan doing a great job with that. We have Ricardo to help pull that together with L'Academia, with the food program and the transportation issues with L'Academia. We also needed to be able to think about this contract that's going on with Red Clay that I think is really exciting. I mean, so being able to have that structure, I don't think it was communicated well, looking at all of those responsibilities. Because one question I didn't ask, and I really wished I would have asked it, was why couldn't Ricardo report to Denise, right? But I think that having Denise have to be torn in so many directions, it really was a solid idea to have people dedicated to those two things. So then it was brought up, well, we might need somebody over top of that with an umbrella vision. But one of the things that I pointed out at the last meeting is that I'm expecting these two people to have a vision and to be able to take us someplace. So the idea behind this committee really was trying to figure out, we see at least 13 things, and there's probably more, but at least 13 things that Dimitri was involved in a variety of things. In particular, things that have been happening at the school or other programs. But what the committee is also trying to do is determine how much of these things can be done with people we have already. Is there a need in the future for anything else to help us make sure that these valuable programs continue? That's kind of why the committee was suggested in the first place, to really dive into that. I like that Denise pointed out that we really don't want to have a 30-day structure, because this is not a bulldozer type of thing. This is something that's a communication, and that's why when the committee was formed, I asked if Lori could serve on it, because we want to have other voices on the committee as well, not just board members. So those are the kinds of things. Now, as far as the times that were set for the committee meetings, I don't know the committee set those, because I saw some conversation about that as well. But that's some of the background. I don't know if I described it the best way or not, but I was just trying to help people know what had happened at that meeting and some of the discussions that went on. I saw a hand in the back, though.
So let me just clarify one thing that Laura said about this list of 13 buckets, that this is not indicative of everything that Dimitri didn't have a hand in all of these. But some of these he spearheaded, like fundraising, coordination of capital construction, things like that. So just to be right, these are buckets.
Just in general, So the committee even went beyond.
Yeah. As it says up top, these are critical buckets, work to be done, or competencies that we want to be able to have the school succeed. Dina.
So I've been with the school for 12 and a half years. In the beginning, when charter schools start, the board has a lot of say in what happens. The employees kind of do the job. The boards have to pick up a lot of extra work to make the little happy family work. Then you get bigger. And the board had a lot of issues back then, and there was a lot of argument. And there were rightful issues that were pushed by parents and board members and faculty and staff that made changes to the board. Okay? The board's changed. The board has, elections. The work of the board continues. They hired a headmaster who was supposed to pick up a lot of work that wasn't kind of getting done, and the board had to continue stepping up and doing a lot of this work. And they've really got to start offloading all this stuff that they do and have the school kind of pick up its paces. While we keep doing everything, we can't do everything. We have to focus on teaching. We have to focus on operations. We have to figure out how we're building the buildings. But who's going out and finding the money, okay? it makes a lot of sense that you would try to maybe take board members and bring them in and turn them into faculty staff or staff to help assist and get this part done. And we've gotten to that point, and we're going to continue to grow. And as we get bigger and bigger, we're going to need more and more people handling all these parts so that we can divide and conquer and become the best Odyssey that we can be. It has to be presented correctly. It has to be done through consensus building. We have to all feel good about getting it done. Dimitri's done a lot of great work, okay? There's a lot of fear out there on some sides that if that doesn't continue, it all stops and goes to pot, and all of a sudden nothing gets done, and we kind of stall out. The same thing happens on the other side, is that we can't go too fast, because all of a sudden it's like, well, where's all the money going, and, you know, Karen's not going to have enough surplus to cover all the benefits and everything, and we get like, too focused on everything. We're all here for the same reason, okay? This is a great school. We better keep building it. Tony Scatellis, a blessed memory, okay? He had his own problems with that beginning board, but he had to do his focus and have the board do their focus, and it's a constant check and balance. And that's where we are. We're checking and balancing each other. We're not here to try to have the same problems that the prior board had to turn it into jaded, jaded hatred against each other, okay? We've got opinions, we've got on both sides, everybody's valid. There's a famous Greek proverb, okay? Esiechis dikio, ke esiechis dikio. The third guy comes up and says, how, if this person's correct and that person's correct, how can, he goes, hey, you got a point too, okay? So the whole point is, they've got a point, you've got a point, every point is valid. But we have to come through consensus and figure it all out. And the succession committee will hopefully hammer out all these pitfalls and bring out the advantages, and we can move forward together.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dino. There was a hand back there.
That's a very good reason.
I think we as teachers, the word budget's thrown around, and we as teachers are a little afraid that this budget, we don't know where we're going to feel the impact, because it sounds like, you know, in the past year we had Dr. Marina, who was amazing and worked with the Greek staff, and we had Dr. Nick and Denise, but now it's like, oh, now we need a supervisor of schools, and then we need a big umbrella over everybody. So it's just, it's like, I feel like we're adding, and it's a little, I mean, from a teacher's perspective, we just don't know where we are going to, like lose support, you know, just the idea of all these questions, because we're adding this and adding that. So I felt like Nick and Denise and Dr. Moran did an amazing job last year as taking care of the school. So now here we are adding a supervisor of school and then potentially an even bigger umbrella. We're just adding and adding. When I thought two or three administrators last year did an amazing job handling all
this. To clarify the umbrella statement, by the way, that was something that was mentioned at the meeting, but not something that's necessarily being pursued.
Okay.
So the only thing is, I knew that statement was something that probably set some things in motion for people. So I just wanted to acknowledge that the statement had been made. That's not necessarily something that's being pursued.
Okay.
So to help with that.
Thanks, Lauren.
I just wanted to clarify, I want to lay out a point about making that decision fast. And so just to clarify, number one, the committee doesn't make any decisions. They try to understand the problem and make recommendations. And they may come back and make recommendations, and the board as a whole says, those aren't good recommendations. We don't agree, go back and do more work. So to make a decision, it's uncertain whether or not a decision will be made, depending on the recommendations and the levels that come out. So that we don't know. But number two, in terms of the list, in terms of urgency and non-urgency, there are things on this list that are critical, that are short-term, that need to be addressed, and there are other things that really require some measured, thoughtful processes to really get to it. And those are longer-term problems, too, but it doesn't. Maybe we can unbundle it, and there are some quick things that have to be done that really should be addressed. You know, there's a gym that needs to be built. We can't wait 6, 12, 18 months to think about that and worry about that. There are classrooms that need to be built out. There are things So those things need immediate attention, right? And do we have the capacity to do that right now? That's what the committee is thinking about in part too.
Right.
And you said, you know, we're hiring more people. The school is significantly larger than it was 3 years ago. significantly, and it's going to be significantly larger in an additional 3 years. And so we need to build that capacity at the administrative level, just like we're hiring new teachers every year, 15, 20 new teachers. You need the administrative staff to help support those teachers, to help them. And so everything is growing, and it does seem unwieldy at times, and it's kind of scary and unsettling because things are just, you know, I'd like to go back to where we were in the small school and the campers and the cozy classrooms and the pathway building. Those are all nice, but it's like we're way beyond that now. This is one of the largest schools in the state, and it's a massive operation. It's one of the most costly schools in the state in terms of the budget. And so, and it's getting bigger. It's not going to stop. So you do need the people. We do need to build capacity. We're trying to do it thoughtfully. Sometimes we make knee-jerk reactions to do things, but like you know, it's all in the best interest. Everyone has the best interest of the school at heart. We're trying to do the best job we can as a board, as committees, to try to really figure out where we need to go, because we're not. It's not static. It's not like this school isn't growing, and but we're adding people. People and teachers and administrators are being added as this school is growing, and sometimes catching up to things that we should have done a while ago, right? So,
I was going to respond to the lady in the back. Your name?
Casey.
Casey, I'm sorry. So yeah, it does look like we brought in more people on the admin level, but if you think about it, last year we had Denise and Nick, academics. Operations too, but also operations. Ricardo had a hand in that as a consultant, and Dimitri had a hand in that as pro bono, along with all the other things that Dimitri may have been working on with Greek University, Greek program, fundraising, capital campaign. Right now, Nick and Dimitri are gone, so we just have Ricardo and Denise. If you look at the salaries from last year to this year, right around the same, less this year. Because last year we had the supervisor schools, which eventually I guess will come back in. Nick was making a certain amount. Denise was making a certain amount. Now we have two.
And I want to add to George. Listen, the education, the academics, is the focus of our school. We are not going to keep coming short with supplies for you guys. We're going to get everything you need. Denise to make sure she's going to give you, and so is Karen. You guys are going to have what you need. You're going to have the tools you need, and you're also going to have the support. Denise told you she's going to be there for you for any concerns that you might have. You have a touch person, a point person that you can contact, you can communicate with. Really, there's no fear. You've got everything in place that you need for communication, so if anything does need or you do have needs, you have a chain of command. So it should make you feel comfortable to know that you have everything you need and you have support.
So I'm not actually talking about like pencils and paper and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about like support in the classroom. Whereas like I don't want, or you know, if it comes around and says, oh, we have it in the budget to have paraprofessionals and do certain things. That's what I mean. Like,
we're going to give you that too.
Are Paris part of the unit count here?
Yeah,
it's a different thing than.
I mean, it was top last year.
I mean that stuff. Like,
I think it's a
plan. When that comes up, are you talking? You went to Dr. Nick and asked for more professionals in the classroom, computers, yada yada, and he said not in the budget, not going to happen.
We were told it wasn't in the budget.
So I can speak to that. Listen, there's always a tension between the budget and the needs of the school. And we're going through that process right now between working on the grant and the budget, is knowing the school needs and what you all need in the classrooms, and the, you know, there's X amount of dollars that we have available. I can tell you that, but with that said, we do a good job, I think, good job, not perfect, but we do a good job of getting services to the students and allowing them to be out there or providing those services to the students. Where things get tricky, in my opinion, is we're growing rapidly. We have students coming into our school, and like I would say, it's a box of chocolates, right? And we had, with that being specific, we had a lot of students identified in particular grades from the beginning of the school year, and we, you know, we didn't know that was coming, because again, we're about to talk. So that's sometimes where we feel the pressure in staffing with student support services, and it's phasing into a crystal ball. Every year we get a little bit better. But so that's part of it. But I hear you, and I understand it's a real tension. It's a real concern. But know that I'm working with the board, with Ricardo, Karen. I report directly to the board to get what we need. I mean, that's why I'm here for you all. And we're working through that process. And that's why we weren't prepared to make recommendations tonight, because there's more work to be done. And I hope that at least, you know, touches on some of the concerns and how you guys are going to bring up.
Sorry, Denise, just to clarify, I'm just not familiar with the academic structure of the teachers and their interests. Is there an advisory committee that represents the teachers' interests in lower school, middle school, and so forth? Do they have individuals that can represent, that they can discuss with and then come and present? Or is it exclusively either you or them randomly? Because that's what it kind of seems like.
There's a leadership team structure.
Yeah, there's no leadership. It doesn't. That's
so,
just my.
So there's, and y'all can jump in. There's a number of structures that are in place. First of which being the open door policy. You know, that kind of stop on by, which can be effective. Of course, Tammy serves as a touch point for the staff, as well as the conduit to the board. Beyond that, we have teams of teachers meet on a weekly basis. They have team leaders who, we have administrators that come to those meetings. Those team members share with their principals that then flow up to me and up to Nick, so there's that piece. And we also have the school-wide committees as well that meet a number of times throughout the year on a variety of different topics, whether it's the school improvement plan, response to intervention, school culture, et cetera, and they convene, make recommendations, ideas, questions, concerns, and those are brought directly to senior administration.
I just have something really quick to say. You know, it's wonderful that teachers, like the board is guaranteeing that teachers will get everything they need, because in my past 3 years here, I will tell you there's not a year that's gone by that I don't have everything I need, and probably the same for other teachers. You know, when the DOE rep was here last board meeting, he said something, and I wrote it down, and I just reminded myself. He said he expected more from a school that has been around for 12 years with our enrollment. And that's the thing. We keep going backwards. And we can't, given, you know, the publicity, the DOE investigations going on. Teachers are telling you and saying to the board, you know, we need this. We need this support. I mean, heck, teachers, again, talking about money. We make 10% less than Red Clay. 10% less than every other school around here. And, you know, it would be nice if we got a little bit of a bonus rather than having this person, you know, come in as an umbrella. You know, the DOE rep said it again last meeting. You need to hear. You need to hear from others. And I think at this point, you know, yes, we have all these critical buckets and work to be done, but it is July. Given to think about having another succession committee meeting in August is all well and good, but let's wait until September. Let's wait until October, when we are in the thick of things, when school is in session. You know, you have two fully capable people sitting here, and what was said last board meeting about them and their abilities is awful. They can do the work. And, you know, again, I don't see the need. I don't see any of this when, you know, parents and teachers and the community are telling the board and saying to the board, you know, not only should you put the brakes on things, but, you know, these things shouldn't even be in the vein of our existence. We have admin that can fully take care of this.
But Tammy, with all due respect, I mean, I respect your opinions and your comments, but do you think that your opinion is absolutely correct?
Absolutely not.
Everybody else?
No.
And secondly, the individuals who object to certain things, teachers, are, and these people that write comments and so forth, are they the majority of the parents and teachers of the school, or are they the minority? I don't know how everyone generally feels. I think it's a little excessive to state that everyone's disappointed about everything. And
well, look at how many people
well.
Are here tonight.
I don't know. I mean, is this the whole school and they're all unhappy? Maybe. I didn't hear that. I don't know.
Can I just say something quickly? So, I'm pretty sure I make less than 10% less than Red Clay. Okay, I'm definitely underpaid. There are other school districts in the state who also are 10% of what Red Clay is, because Red Clay is just the top. Okay? Not every.
Brandywine School District is higher.
All right, so Brandywine's the top now, but it's faster than Red Clay. So, there's a trade off. You want to work at Odyssey, you might get less money, but there's some definite advantages, like, you know, not having desks thrown at you in the classroom or, like, you know, assault. I'm just saying that there's a better, hopefully, environment of positive peer pressure and staff culture here than in some of these other schools that, you know, you either worked in or heard about. I love you. I respect you. I get it. What I hear is fear of the unknown, which a lot of people have, fear of the unknown. I've been living with this fear of the unknown for 12 years, okay? I just want a multi-year contract, but that's a whole different story, okay? but that's where, you know, it's like, oh, boss got fired, what's gonna happen? You know, if we've always survived, we've always rebounded, we've always got these things, we work together, we figure these things out. It's the positive peer pressure and the positive environment that Odyssey's always had that's got us through, okay? And sometimes it's the leadership that gives it to you, and sometimes it's the masses of students that make your day, and sometimes it's all of us just pulling together. But, like, you know, we've got to be positive. Things are going to work out, you know. We'll figure things out, and that's the way we kind of just go.
Sure. There's a question in the back or the middle.
I just wanted to say something real quick. I mean, like it or not, I run a small business. You have a budget. You don't ever get everything you want. I can't buy 7 new vans this year because I want them. I have to figure out what I can do. And like it or not, Odyssey is a business. It's a school, but it's a business. And you've got to have, you have to, they keep saying optimize, and I agree with that. You have to optimize what you have and make the best of it. It's just, I don't think anybody's trying to take away from the school. And I don't know what the strategic committee will come up with. If they do recommend that Dimitri or anybody else have some umbrella position, there's going to be a reason behind that, because they're going to bring additional funding and donations into the school. I believe.
That's the point. Thank you.
If I could just make a quick comment to Dr. George, and we haven't met yet, hi, officially.
sorry.
But we'll meet afterwards. But to your point about, and your question to Tammy about how do we capture the sentiment of the staff and the greater community, that came up in our committee meeting, is do we have all the people at the table that want to contribute, and at the same time, Tammy is one voice up here speaking for presumably the teacher population. But you know, so how do we funnel that all this good feedback? And that's something that I'd like to work on with Tammy and with the board, is how we can somehow capture the staff and possibly the family, the Odyssey family, feedback it through this process, because we were talking in quite a vacuum. There was 5 of us.
Yeah, and just and to Denise's point, it was great having Lori there. But you're right, there wasn't a, I'm a parent, so I tried to convey my parental viewpoint on this as well. But so the committee is not closed. The membership of the committee is not closed. So if there are any parents that want to come to the next meeting, feel free. Some of the best discussion we had was at the last meeting where we had a couple parents give us their viewpoint, and it was fantastic. And so that's, Denise is right, that's what we need. So if any parents want to be engaged, come to the meeting, come to these meetings, and get engaged. So, no, sir, and then we'll go two behind. Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to ask the board a question. Richard's a great guy. He's done a lot of stuff for the school, and he's got a big heart. Dimitri volunteered. He chose to do that position, be a volunteer. I know he's been in the city of Wilmington 30, 35 years. I give their life for volunteerism. I want to ask the board, and I'll talk about like Dimitri, but it looks to me, just listening, you're afraid he's going to take his ball and go home. And if he takes the ball and goes home, shame on Dimitri. I don't think he's that type of guy. Maybe he is. I don't know. But I look, you guys are afraid. To me, I see fear, like, we won't get any money. We won't. He's been volunteering for 13 years. And I think he will continue to volunteer. He's a good guy. I don't know anybody that volunteers and gets rewarded with the job. They do it out of the kindness of their heart. Not to say he doesn't want a job or whatever, but I see fear from the board that he's going to take his ball and go home, and what are you going to do? And you know what? All of us are expendable. I'm going to pay that right now. You think you're not, Louis Pavilio will die tomorrow, and John will have somebody else.
Great.
This is not true.
There's nobody that's
Everybody's
irreplaceable.
Expendable.
Exactly.
Everybody's expendable, except for me. Now, I hope Dimitri doesn't take his ball and go if this doesn't work out. I hope he stays in my school. He has great contacts. He's got a great heart. He's a good guy. And I can judge people pretty good. He's a good guy. He's got a good heart for the school. But I think you should throw that fear away. Look at the school as a whole, as a community, not just one person. Because one person is not here. Whatever your decision is, try to look at it as, I wasn't here, John wasn't here, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, somebody else could take his place, or whatever, or he could be the man. But I sense fear from
yeah.
the board.
So that's why we're looking at it in a short-term and long-term point of view. So we have the short-term and the long-term. And you're right, nobody's irreplaceable. So that's one of the things that we as a committee are discussing. With the current structure that we have, are we able to fill in those gaps? And that's one of the things that we've been discussing and will continue to discuss. So, sorry, I saw a hand up there, but then I think Karen, right?
I just wanted to say about the meeting, I knew that they were coming, and I checked our website, you know, frequently, but I didn't even realize when the dates were. Like, sometimes you guys glanced other things, but even a teacher and a mom, I didn't even know that they were existing on the date and the time. So that was just like a recommendation
sure.
for the future.
So,
like, thanks so much for moms, because dad comes home and mom can go.
Sure. No, that's something that we'll discuss in scheduling the next meeting or meetings and going to the future. We'll have that set meeting every month, I hope.
See, we should hire somebody to communicate all that out. Because we need more help doing it. We're all at our
I think they were on the website and they were posted, which is what we're required to do. Back there.
I just want to say what I see as I've been observing over the years that I've been here and now starting to come to the meeting. What I see is a downfall in the board, in the fact that when the board succession was set up, that it wasn't set up properly so that as soon as Dimitri is no longer president, he's gone.
Yep, you're exactly right.
There should have been a position a succession where he is immediate past president. You have your board president now that's going to train up your new president, and your second vice president or vice president comes up.
You're exactly right. And that's what we're doing now.
And so instead of creating a new position, instead of creating a new position to be hired because, oh my goodness, now what are we going to do? There needs to be a restructuring of the board.
Well, a lot of the things right? that he treats, I'm sorry, I'll regret
that. And a lot of the things that he does, I've worked in a lot of organizations. I've worked in nonprofits for the majority of my working life. I've worked at organizations in New York as an employee and also on a board, also here in Delaware. So, yes, people put in a lot of work as a board member, and that's what a board does. Okay? But your board structure has to be set up correctly and properly so that a ball doesn't drop and people don't freak out, oh my God, what are we going to do now? There has to be set.
And that is one of the things we talked about at the last meeting as well, is absolutely what you were saying, that things were done, but there should have been that idea of succession previously. Mm-hmm. And that's what is kind of the goal of the committee. And I think that's why Joe's talking about the committee remaining in place, because, you know, in the future, eventually we'll need a different headmaster or head of school or something like that. That those thoughts of what are we going to do with that there were multitude of ways that it could have been done, and we needed to have maybe a policy in place, a procedure in place, and that's what we're trying to do now. So to get it in place, yeah.
So that's ultimately a great idea. And my suggestion, and I'm going to piggyback off of Dino, because it's been a frustration of mine since I've been here at the school, is that we need, if we're going to add a position, the position needs to be a communications director. That person needs to be in charge of the major calendar, and all things follow through that.
It's our strategic.
All major communication needs to go through that person. You know, I'm here at the lower school, but I was moderating a club at the middle school. And in order to get information, I had to contact 3 people and hope that they get back to me in a timely fashion in order to get the information that I needed in order to run my club effectively.
Right.
That shouldn't happen. And this club and that person and this person and that person, they're scheduling things at the same time, different times, things aren't getting out in a timely fashion. We only hear about things, oh, that club that or that group is going to have something next week, and we only get a week's notice. As a teacher, as a moderator, and I'm sure as a parent, that is frustrating.
Agreed.
So we need to really think about, step back. And, you know, it's already been said, a position is not going to happen right at this time. It's the strategic plan is or this committee is going to take back and evaluate that. So let's move forward and let's really think about what is the best way in order to do that.
Anybody else?
Okay, so
we'll go. In the back, and right here. How about that?
I said this at a board meeting a couple weeks ago, but you know, Tanner brought up a point, and then the question was asked, well, is that the majority view? Like, how do we know? I really think it's important to survey the staff and survey the community and see what the point of view is and see what the needs are. That being said, when you make the decision, and I was at the committee meeting, it doesn't necessarily have to be a majority vote kind of thing. We're like, oh, well, this many people feel this way, so that's what we go with. Because some of the community members or some of the teachers or, you know, anybody doesn't see all the working pieces that go into why these decisions are made. But just surveying people can get you an idea of what the community, what the teachers feel they need, and help to inform a decision, and also help you to know, well, this is what they don't know, so we need to explain like, why we went with COVID, or why we did this, or why we did that, and all these, you know, buckets that we need to fill, that list, well,
well, this is what's being done, and some people don't even know this going on what I'm reading. But I think, you know, just surveying people and finding this out is a good idea.
Okay, thanks. We're in the back.
Again, like just going off what everyone said, I agree with things that Dino said and just what Lisa just said and what Casey has said, and I feel like again trying to be a voice for the teachers and what Tammy has said. And like Casey has said about getting what we need in this course, and then you people have brought up supplies. And I don't need like paper and pencils, like that's not what I need. Like the main thing and the elephant in the room here is that as we all, like the trade-off, yes, my kids go here. My kids are so successful here, and I love it here. However, we are the only charter probably in the state that pays that much less than the district they are in. So, like, if you were at Newark Charter or DMA or at Aspira, they all pay, I think, 2% less. We get, it's a significant cut that we take. So every month, I've come a few times and I've said that, and I said, oh, and it's like, oh, thanks, and like, I don't know, is it ever discussed in budget? Can we pay our teachers a little more? My paycheck from the state is 75 hours, I get paid for 10 days. We work 80. I mean, we don't work 7.5 hour days, we work 8 hour days. In district, you work a 7.5 hour day. So I'm already working 80 hours, 40 hour weeks, which is fine, but my paycheck is 75 hours, and then I'm still getting paid 10% less. So then it's supposed to add up, and then I coach softball. I just coach softball, and if I get paid, I don't have an equal contract. I don't have like a. So those are things that the teachers want. We want consistency, transparency, and like, is it ever going to be an option to work with us to say, because obviously when teachers do leave, it's not that they don't love it here, because they love it here, but they leave because like, well, I'm going over here, the red flag on the street, because now I'm making $6,000 more, and then it's a burden on the teachers too. When your team leaves, it's hard because you're like, oh, we had a team, and now we have a new teacher, and you just take them under your wing because they're new to your team, and you're like, and then we're catching them up, and this is what we do, and this is how we do it. And yes, like Deanna said, there's trade-offs. This is a great school. However, 5 years ago was a different than it is now. 5 years ago, 86 kids were in the sixth grade, and it was just, I was like, this is amazing. Now we have 160 kids in the sixth grade. The kids were up. There's a lot more things that are like in the works day in and day out, and there's like, yes, there's not enough support. We do RTI now. Teachers are going to do RTI, or you're going to have to find time in your day to fool your kids that are the lowest kids, and it's going to be in the day you already have and in the time you already have, and maybe during your enrichment, and maybe at lunch you're just going to have lunch duty and recess duty, and you know, you get a planning time, but you also have a PLC, and there's no lunch break. You just kind of eat in the cafeteria standing. So like, there's trade-offs. But I don't know if there's any discussion ever, when we keep hearing of new positions being made, is there ever a discussion ever to maybe look at, to retain these teachers that love it here? Like, is there ever going to be any kind of changed contracts that are more than 1 year, that don't, you don't just get an A? Maybe you're going to get a salary that's closer to the district that you're in. Like, it seems like it's like, thanks for your comments, we appreciate it, and then, like, nothing is ever changing. We got new contracts, this is what your salary is, and it's still 10% less, and it's still the same, and you'll get another one next May. I don't know if there's ever, that's what the teachers' concerns are. So that's, that is one of the resources that we need, is like, are we going to ever have a closer salary to this, like our colleague down the street that makes $9,000 more than me. With 14 years in a master's like I have, they're still making $9,000 more than me across the street, doing the same job, kind of similar. Mm-hmm. Or less, because we do a lot. So,
Katie,
that's all.
I just want to jump in and I thank you for bringing that up, and with the board, and I'm sharing with you and everyone here, I will work with you and the staff to work with the board, with Tammy, et cetera, so that we can bring this concern and see what we can do, so we can have a productive conversation and not just leave it hanging out there. That's my question to all of you, okay?
If I can just add, I think I agree on so many things that you said, Katie, but retaining staff is super important to the school. And to continuing our work and to getting better. And I actually think tying it into the World Class Employees Strategic Plan Committee is probably a good idea. And there's an opportunity for all of you. I think I'm already on that committee. So maybe it's that sort of the natural path. If Denise and I and Tammy can kind of get together and kick off that committee so that we can do some of that work.
Mm-hmm. There's been a couple of meetings, and I know we've had some, but it's kind of been at a lull and a standstill for a while. I think like a lot of the committees,
right,
where it's been tough to get them. I see a lot of people in here and a lot of energy and a lot of interest, and so I was hoping that, you know, as we start to probably re-engage this committee stuff, that we can get some more participation and some more input and perspectives and ideas and thoughts on how to really do this stuff across the board. There's a lot of things that we think.
Yep.
Employees, the community.
Okay. One last thing before, I promise I'm not talking again tonight. We all want more money. We've got to get it from the budget, but the budget has to stop supporting capital improvements that we don't need, like building a gym and stuff like that, because that money needs to come from somewhere else. So the more external money we can bring in through grants, philanthropies and stuff like that to get the capital improvement stuff done, that frees up more money in the budget for day-to-day operations like our salaries and other things, benefits and things like that. So maybe there is an argument there for a position that's going to help bring in a few million dollars and build all that stuff so that we can free up the budget money for salaries. You could argue it that way too. So, you know, there's ways of doing both of these things. You just have to kind of figure out which way is the right way for us.
Sorry about that.
No,
fine.
I'm
sorry.
So some of the things from a parent's perspective that I always hear and agree with are the parents love the teachers. And if the teachers, when we have a year where a lot of the teachers depart, everybody freaks out. Like, it's a huge issue for the parents. We want to see the teachers supported. They do a great job, always, and that is a consistent thing that I hear from everybody. The other thing is, there's no communication. I thought it was better this past year, and the website's looking new, and that's great. But, you know, there's old information up, there's dead links, there's things you can't find. The communication piece is so important, and making that connection is huge. And then one other thing, if you're bringing in a person who's going to be bringing in capital funds, can they be funded by the capital funds? Because everyone's concerned about where the education money's going and that the education money stays with education. And if we're bringing in a person who's going to be, you know, a mover and a shaker and making these great connections, if they could be funded in that way, that would alleviate a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely something that we can talk at the succession committee level and bring. I don't know if there are any legal ramifications for that, but that's definitely something that we see. I mean, it's ideas like that we had at the succession committee meetings. And now here, this is why we're doing this. An idea just like that, and other ones. So this is why this committee exists. Anybody else? All right. So those are the two recommendations of the committee. I think, like we discussed last time, we may need a motion. If that's what the board wants to do, to give Dimitri some authority to go to the HEPA National Convention and represent the school, and maybe engage in some discussions with potential donors. So I think, John, you probably need a motion to that effect before we have any discussion, correct?
Well, frankly, the board made the decision.
Right. No. No. But
if you want to put it on record.
Yeah, but what should happen first? Discussion or a motion?
Well, first of all, you have a motion, no second, then you have a motion.
Okay.
I'll motion that the two recommendations be put forward for consideration.
What does that mean?
Well, that these two recommendations of the board request to meet to represent OCS and that the succession committee continue to hold additional meetings.
Okay.
Those recommendations we brought forward for consideration. We can bundle them one at a time, we can do them bundle it together.
I think you should do them one at a time.
Yeah, let's just do them one at a time.
So I recommend that the first recommendation of the meeting representing OCS that have a meeting taken into consideration.
So taken into consideration, or I think you just make the motion.
Make the motion. Give the authority. Make the motion that
represent OCS.
Dimitri represent OCS at the HEPA National Convention. Do we need to read the whole motion?
So, well, first meeting is second.
Awesome.
First meeting.
Yeah, and now we can have some discussion about what that motion looks like. And
I think that my question is, we keep saying authority, and I'm not sure what that means.
So if a HEPA National, if they want to make a contract that can give us some access to donations with the school, they need somebody to represent the school so that they can forge that contract. For example, when they have the housing project and they're trying to decide what to do with the funds, the revenue from that.
Yeah, but that's not something that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. But he can talk about it.
I mean, really.
Just representing Odyssey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
If he's no longer the board president, a member of the board, how would he continue to communicate with all of the contractors and all this stuff? Have you already given him permission, or maybe he needs a specific title in his next one?
So that's one of the things that we're.
Good point.
Yeah, that. I mean, that's.
Michael's good point.
No, so that's exactly. Sorry. So what Michael just said is how are the contractors in the construction? I mean, that's one of those things. That's one of those immediate needs that has kind of bled over into this area, and I mean that's why John's here, and that's why other members of the board need to step into that role and get, I don't know what the business term is, ramped up to know how to do that, and that's what Ricardo can help out. He said that he's already starting to do that, and we just want to be able to, I mean, Dimitri has all that information and he has the context for that, and he's not making any decisions or anything like that. He's just there as an informational kind of a resource. He's a resource at this point for that.
And I guess I'm trying to understand, is a board member the person who should be in that role, as Dino had suggested, kind of the transfer, or is that, for instance, more of like a Ricardo or a John type of thing, to have those communications? I mean, because Ricardo and John, you're already having communications with contractors and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm just trying to understand, I mean, we're talking about for a succession, does a board member assume that role, or is that something that naturally transfers to the people at the school who are on the ground?
So I would say a couple things. One, the more the merrier. And if you have somebody, well, that's a good counterpoint. But it's also part of the strategic plan. And when there's a committee for facilities and building out the facilities in the strategic plan that is housed by or presided over by a board member. That was one of the committees that the board specifically said, we need a strategic plan for facilities. And I think it makes sense to kind of have a cohesive strategic plan to be able to further it to, again, succeed with our mission and vision. It helps to have that board member at least present and available to engage in those discussions or committee meetings or whatever.
But I think the conversations we should be having now is whether or not we want to
improve. Exactly. Thank you, Elias. Thank you.
Representing us. We can talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I'll go back to my question. What do we mean by authority?
Among each other.
Well,
I don't even understand what the point of this discussion is. Can you articulate, Joe, exactly what it is we're discussing here? Is it an interim? A short-term, non-binding position.
No,
for Dimitri?
It's not. So it's not a position. It will not be paid.
But define it for us so we can all understand it.
So, John. Yeah.
Your first bullet point says Dimitri Daniels' position is to have a national attention.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
What is the issue beyond that?
So
you're allowing Dimitri to represent this goal.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Questions on motion and decide what you want him to do.
Yeah.
And so I think the point is that, look, everybody here can go out and solicit funds.
Absolutely.
And raise funds for the school.
Absolutely.
On their own. But this is saying that, Dimitri, you are officially there as part of the, because of the OCS board, to talk to people, say, yes, I'm representing Honesty Charter School to talk to you folks about this. I'm not here as an individual, Dimitri. I'm here representing the school.
Absolutely.
Right? But there's nothing in here about authority. It just says, hey, who's the Odyssey Charter person here? Dimitri can't say, I am. He can say, I was former board president, but now I'm just a civilian. So this gives them the okay to say, listen, go over there and talk to these people as a representative of the school. It doesn't mean that other board members can't attend as
right.
well. We have the authority to go over there and represent the school as well, too, in that capacity. But this is giving him that ability
right.
to
but,
say yes.
But if one of us can't be there, then he can kind of push the ball
And this
forward.
Doesn't bind
right.
us to anything. He can't bind the school to anything. It's just giving him the okay to say, yes, I'm authorized to talk to
him. If I could jump in, also one of the conversations, or one of the considerations was, if Dimitri were to stay there for multiple nights, if there was any lodging expenses associated with this. In the past, if we've had board members attend different functions, if there was cost associated with that, representing the school,
I think he's going anyway. That's the thing.
Well, I just, but that was a consideration that came up, and I think that would be something for the board to.
So, wait, so yeah. Elias, this is just for the AHEPA meeting you're referring
just,
to?
Just
or
for
something?
The AHEPA meeting.
Just for the AHEPA motion.
But no authority to bind us.
Because he's going there to represent the school to talk about receiving donations, to cultivate relationships, and talk to people, to talk about the school, all these things that are in a semi-official capacity as opposed to some individual just going there and saying, hey, I'm a parent at Odyssey.
Right, so right. that appears, as you said, to be pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Don't seem to be any negative consequences. There's nothing permanent about it. It costs us nothing, and it's only an upside. And I would think everyone would be happy with that decision. But if they're not, they're not.
Well, just to add to that,
just
I mean,
this
just,
one little
yeah.
trip.
The potential cost is
normal
travel, normal travel,
and lodging.
Reimbursement of normal and customary travel expenses. So to say there's no cost is not absolutely correct. But that's a decision that the board has to make.
And to me,
didn't we talk to Kendall about that? She said
yeah.
the passport.
And Kendall,
she had no problem.
Kendall, who attended the last meeting,
yeah.
was supportive of that and saw no issue
room
and
board.
With that.
Yeah, I think that cost is trivial, and the upside is huge compared.
Right. It's just
it's a fraction of the money he's going to bring back.
I mean, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, on principle.
Customary. Yeah.
But he's not going there exclusively for OCS, right? He has, as an heaven business there.
Right. He's going to receive possibly receive an award.
Right, but he wouldn't be there every day if he
yeah,
was
attending.
If he was just doing
yeah,
that.
He's doing the conferences every day, representing.
Having meetings.
Yeah. So, Laura, what's the motion?
Right now it says, motion to go forward with the first recommendation of Dimitri representing OCS at the AHEPA National Convention.
Instead
that
of,
was the verbiage I had.
Instead of immediate past board president, can we just say former? It just seems to be easier.
Sure.
I don't know.
Kennedy is the immediate past. On that.
I mean, I don't think. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's what he's going. It's not going to be on a business card.
I don't think the motion needs to say we need to vote.
Okay.
If he wants to put in reimbursement expenses, I think
yeah.
he probably could.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be in the motion. That's up to him to decide, I think.
Sounds good. Let's get it done.
We'll go back.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Okay, so Laura, what's the motion?
Motion to go forward with the first recommendation of Dimitri representing OCS at the AHEPA National Convention.
Do you
want
to be? 20 seconds to the 20th.
Just
yeah, here.
Do you want to just... tell you that
we need the date. We really need the date.
Well, I just didn't say, like,
is he going to go every single day?
And perpetuity.
We don't need to plan to go every single day.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, he has a lot of meetings set up in different parts of the NEPA that he's going to be attending and giving presentations about the school.
So
Dr. Maria is going to be there for that,
and
also
too.
And then this doesn't necessarily need to be part of the motion, but
no.
So let's take
a right. We're gonna have to continue there.
Sure. All right. So, Laura, read it again, just for the record.
Motion to go forward with the first recommendation of Dimitri representing OCS at the AHEPA National Convention from July 22nd to July 28th.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll
second. It was Elias first, George second, yeah. And then we had discussion.
Yeah. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, any opposed? Thanks, John. I need you here.
That's a lot of work to go to.
John, we
might
do
it.
And then,
you
so,
a I mean,
what's that?
You need a parliamentarian, I'll be there.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Nothing.
Oh, well then, never mind. But what I did want to say is that we also recommended that school administration and current board members, as available, should attend. Mm-hmm. I think it's imperative, especially in this ramping up of our capacity building, that we be there.
Physical support of the school there.
Yeah.
So is there some plan to communicate what the dates
right,
or
so there's no, are? Right, and there's no, I mean, we're not going to absolutely require it, but if you can make it, like I'm going on the 26th.
Yeah,
and
I think it would be good if there was a board communication.
Can someone send out like an agenda or itinerary for the entire thing?
And can we ask Dimitri like what meetings are being scheduled?
Yes.
For like,
yeah, I will do that. Yeah. So
we're talking to dinner.
So
I might be better off during the day.
Yeah. So that we can coordinate. Yeah, we'll definitely make an effort to coordinate for those meetings and everything.
Yeah.
And have him report back like maybe every day or two about what he's done.
Yeah.
At least come back to the board to report out on.
And to that, there will also be an Odyssey table at the AHEPA grand banquet where hopefully Dimitri will be receiving the AHEPA of the Year award. Hopefully. All right. Is there a motion on the second recommendation?
Does the succession committee hold additional meetings?
Do we need to have a motion?
Yeah, no, I don't think we do. I don't think we do.
We've already established it.
Yeah. I don't think we do. All right. Thank you. That takes care of that one. And again, thank you for everybody that did come to the succession committee meetings, especially Laurie. Thank you for all your help. Dimitri, Ricardo, and Denise, and George as well. And all the parents and teachers that came. I hope once we are able to post a date for another one, I hope more people will come.
And I want to also reiterate that there's a committee for world-class employees. You guys are welcome to join that and have your voice heard. And then that committee can then present itself to the board so that we can hear what the issues and concerns are. So
okay.
There is that committee there. Please look at it.
All right. Discussion of potential amendments to bylaws. Do we want to skip that?
Let's skip it.
Let's skip it.
Next meeting.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's the end of new business. John?
In regards to the bylaw changes, I would recommend that if there's any proposed bylaw changes, that they should be put in written form and posted.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, this
yeah.
Not, the idea was maybe to just create a committee, but we're going to discuss it at the next meeting.
Yeah, there were no formal...
The bylaws themselves require posting of the bylaw amendments.
Anything for the good of the school? Yeah.
The bylaws have to be changed or amended every 5 years, and I believe you still have 3 years left because they were changed 2 years ago.
So I think we can change them at any time. I think as long as we go through the process.
Yeah. Right. The bylaws build in the a process for amending them.
Yeah.
Right. Must be reviewed every 5 years then for potential amendment.
You can amend them or change them every 5 years.
You can amend them at any time.
Yeah.
Trust me.
John.
And just one thing. I did think the succession committee did a fantastic job up to this point. It's a shame at the July 6th meeting, or the July 5th meeting, that the Board of Education had to recommend that to you.
Yeah.
You should have figured that out. So shame on you guys. I know. But we have to be transparent. We have to be, listen, I hate coming to board meetings when I say the happiness against the other people, whatever it's going to be. It happens all the time. Read the Bible. You're supposed to vote on your own conscience. You're not supposed to have meetings behind the scenes and be secretive and have zero quorums or have other types of meetings. You guys are operating a school. And Ricardo and Denise are here to make sure that they take the vision, the mission, the vision of the board, and make sure it all works well. But you got to be transparent. And Joe, you said a little while ago, Mr. Chair, that we meet the postings of the minimum requirements of the open meeting laws. No, we're better than that. Don't meet the minimums of everything. Let the parents put a contact list out. We took contacts out to the school population on everything else. Tell them you're having a meeting. Tell them it's going to be on July 11th, whatever the date might be. Don't fall behind and say, hey, we're meeting the minimum requirements. We're better than that. Okay, I guess Denise, if anybody's going to send out an email or text about the meeting tonight, and she said Tammy was going to do it, and I contacted Tammy, she sent the email out. Well, why can't we be doing it? Why can't that be automatic? It doesn't cost us anything. It informs everybody that there is a meeting, and we're transparent. We believe in you. We trust you. Don't hide behind meetings that pop up here and there. Just be honest with us. And stop, just be transparent. That's all I'm asking. I'm going to try to come to every board meeting. I'm going to support you. I'm going to keep teaching Joe how to run a meeting. But no, I say that, Joe. But, I want to believe in you guys. And you have to give us that trust.
Thanks, John.
Thanks.
Can I make just one quick comment on just my one? Just in all honesty, they are, every one of them is genuine. And Lauren, she's doing a fantastic job of expressing things in a very, as clear as she possibly can. I think I don't think it can be any better than the way she is trying. And she, adjusts the way things are articulated. If there's a flaw in the way it's expressed, she changes it. Detail per detail. That's really good, don't you think?
There's no question about that.
Yeah, and the other thing is, just to let you know one thing, when I was elected, I realized after the fact that it was Dimitri was stepping down. I had no idea he was stepping down, and then I realized it was essentially his position, and I was clearly under the assumption that he was going to be here, and I felt completely inadequate compared to him, and I didn't want to do that. So I went back to them, and I said, I don't want to take the position, and why don't you just, since there's nobody else applying for the board, why don't you just extend Dimitri's position as the president? And they said, no, you have to stick to the bylaws and the rules. That's what they said. So they genuinely wanted to do the right thing. It could have been a lot easier to keep Dimitri as the president, and that would resolve all these other things. But they said, no, the bylaws say his position is over, and yes, you could have argued there's nobody else to replace him at the moment, so he has to stay on for a little longer. They could have done that, but they didn't.
Well, the Bible says they can't do that.
Right. Yeah, but they stuck to the Bible.
And this was known about 3 years ago. So it wasn't like it happened overnight. This date and time, June 30th, was known about 3 years ago.
That's not what he's saying.
No, there was only one person that could have replaced the position, and that was me. So if I stepped down, there'd be nobody. So what would the bylaws say about the person whose position was over?
Filling a vacancy.
Do you just leave it, or do you temporarily continue it? I think you could
fill it until somebody can fill it.
Yeah. So he stays until someone fills it.
So yeah, he would have maintained it until he found somebody.
Right. So I think that has merit. I respect it.
And there's no reason.
And I mean, you're getting George started saying that, that these are BS
people. No, that's
what I'm saying. So, you know, in the last 4 months, excuse me, Joe, I apologize.
No.
In the last 4 months, there's a lot of surprises that occurred, okay, with the board. And, you know, that brought a lot of, you know, the people became upset about that because all these surprises are showing up and they weren't really brought out in an open public meeting. I mean, be honest with you. I mean, I remember on the May 4th meeting, Dr. Manileka said to the board, you're presiding over the meeting, is there going to be any leadership changes, plans for the school? And Abigail adamantly said, no. And you said, well, maybe there's going to be something. Why did she say no, and why are you saying maybe?
Well, did I say there were no leadership changes?
If there's going to be any leadership changes in the school.
Organization changes. Got it.
Structural changes in the leadership of the school. You said no. You said, well, maybe. Why was there two answers? I mean, everybody should have said, maybe there's going to be something. So that's what I'm saying.
Sure.
You know, trust. You know, bring it up front. Let us know what's happening. Be as transparent as possible.
Yep.
I love you guys.
Thanks, John. No, I agree, and that's why I say that this succession committee is long overdue.
Yeah.
Long overdue. And better late than never, but you know, late is still late. All right. Any announcements? All right. Hearing none. Seriously. Do I have a motion to adjourn? No, not from you. Someone on the board.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I second too many things tonight.
Oh. I didn't know that. Hold it. I'll second that.
All right. All in favor?
All right.
Great.
And the gate closes at 15 minutes. Yeah.